Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sermon title for today is a title I'd like you to share with your neighbor, and you might need to say it a little louder because you're 6 feet apart. But please say these words so that your neighbor can hear you. I think God's up to something big. I think God's up to something big. That is the title for our sermon based on the gospel lesson. Please join me in prayer. O Lord, our hearts, our minds, our strength, our all, to you we yield, on you we call, asking that we might hear you, that our hearts, our minds, and our strength would be wholly captive to your word. And this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Can we talk about the Bible, the gospel lesson for today? It's a strange turn of events, actually, that we hear. Jesus gives to these disciples, well, they're not disciples yet. He gives to these fishermen, these fisher fellows. He gives them a tremendous gift. A miraculous catch of fish. Not to just fill one boat, to fill two boats. Nets are breaking. Boats are sinking. They have caught so many fish. And then we hear Peter fall down at Jesus' knees and say, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That's not the response I was expecting. What about you? I was thinking maybe a high five, fist bump. Let's celebrate. But Peter's response is fear. His response is not to embrace Jesus. He tells Jesus to go away. Not the response we were looking for, but it's the response that takes place. But we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. So let's back up to how these things came to be. Jesus has been preaching to the people in Peter's boat. And when he's done, he tells Peter and these other fisher fellas to go out into the deep part of the sea and to let down their nets for a catch. That's just not done. If you're a fisher person at this time in history, you fish at night in the shallow because at night fish come up to the surface, they come more to the shallow end, and if you're using your net, you have a greater chance of enveloping a decent catch of fish. So what Jesus says doesn't make any sense. Let's say it like this. One of our members here, Janet Reese, is a nurse at Mary Lanning, and she specializes in infections, so she knows all about COVID-19. What if I went up to Janet and said, "Hey, Janet, I got this great idea. I know COVID's a problem, so here's what you're going to do. Just give everybody cough medicine, spoonful of cough medicine, fix everything." Janet would probably say, well, she's a nice woman, so maybe she wouldn't say it to my face, but here's what she'd be thinking. Thanks for the advice, Pastor. Why don't you stick to preaching? When Jesus says to Peter and these other fishermen, go out into the deep, put down your nets. All signs are pointing to this is a bad idea. Now, Peter doesn't say stick to preaching, Jesus, but he does say I'm tired. Actually, he says, Lord, we've toiled all night and we've took nothing, but you can hear that fatigue in his voice. You can hear him saying, listen, Jesus, I've tried all night. I've tried. You know what that's like? To be doing what you've been called to do all night long and you got nothing to show for it? It really applies to pretty much anything. I tried to do the right thing. I tried to do the right thing at work. I tried to work with this particularly difficult coworker. I tried to raise my kids the way they're supposed to be raised. I tried to make my mother or my father understand. I tried to get my life on track. I tried to do my part in the community, in the country. And it seems like nothing's working. Things are going the wrong direction. I've tried in the church. And seems like she's just not growing. I tried. We probably felt that way. Here, if there's any Lord of the Rings fans here, I'll put it in terms that Bilbo Baggins says. He's talking to Gandalf, and he says, I feel all thin, sort of stretched, if you know what I mean, like butter that has been scraped over too much bread. That's what we feel like at times. That's what Peter feels like. Toiled all night, and I took nothing. But here's the key part. Notice Peter's next words. But at your word, I'll let down the nets. Doesn't make sense to me, but at your word, Jesus. See, that's a word of faith. That's a word that says, I've been at this my whole life. I am a fisherman. But for right now, I'm going to forget who I am. I'm going to forget the fact that I am a fisherman. And I'm going to go with what you say, Jesus. You know, that's all over the Bible, actually. That's a recurring theme. How many people here know that at the word of God, things happen? At the word of the Lord, sea stands up in piles and millions of people walk through as on dry ground. At the word of the Lord, those millions of people are fed in the wilderness and preserved. At the word of the Lord, a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour, enough for one meal, continues to feed a family until the drought ends for months. At the word of the Lord, 300 men defeat an army of 120,000 fierce fighting soldiers. At the word of the Lord, barren women have children. at the word of the Lord, dry bones can live. And that's not just for olden times, that's today. How many people here know that at the word of the Lord, a little bit of bread, a little sip of wine, is actually the very body and blood of Christ crucified and risen from the dead? See, what we hear from Peter is the life of the Christian. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. But the Lord says it. At your word, O Lord, I'll let down my nets. Well, so look what happens. A catch. And we're talking about a catch like no other. The Deadliest Catch, that TV show, could not be more exciting than what takes place here on that little lake. There, that little sea, that these disciples actually catch more than they can handle. They fill both boats. The nets are breaking. The boats are sinking. They have more than they can handle. Come here. Do you think that God is up to something bigger than folk can comprehend? See, we get so fixated, don't we? We get so fixated on the problems that we see right in front of us. Worked all night, no fish. COVID-19. We thought we were on the downhill slope, and now it's going up again. What's going on with the country? We see these things, and we fixate on them, and we get afraid. But look at this. Jesus gives to these fishermen more than they can handle. And he makes it look like it's no sweat. Turns out it's not even actually about the fish. Jesus is actually after something bigger. It's not about COVID. It's not about where our country is headed in the end. Jesus is after something bigger. Now, I'm not saying these things don't matter. I'm saying that God is after more. Something big is going on. There is, you look at this story. What did we say in the prayer, in the collect for the day? We pray that we would receive God's promises which exceed all that we can desire. You just can't help but get the sense that God is doing something bigger than our fears and frustrations and our own desires. And Peter gets that sense too. That's why Peter now, all of a sudden, is on his face and he actually tells Jesus to go away. That's not the response we're used to. When Peter says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man," that's the kind of response we're used to when bad things happen. Remember the widow of Zarephath, so the little bit of oil, the little bit of flour. Remember how this story works? This widow had been boarding Elijah because he needed a place to stay, and her son is on the point of death. Death is a foregone conclusion, and she goes up to Elijah and says, "I knew it. I knew it, O man of God. I knew that you were here to put my sin in front of my face, to show me my sin." Now, different instigating factor here with Peter. He's not looking at his sin, or he's not looking at a problem. He's looking at the immensity of what God has done. Either way, we get it. There's those moments in our lives when we are overwhelmed by our circumstances and we see the holiness of God and the weakness of our lives. Our sin becomes very real to us and we get overwhelmed and we feel like sometime the other shoe's got to drop. Sometime God's going to let me have it. And we actually look to God in fear. "Depart from me. I'm a sinner." Well, now Peter, listen. And by Peter, I mean you and you and you, you. I mean all of you. Anyone who is aware of their sinfulness, anyone who is aware of Jesus' holiness and his righteousness, I've got a word for you. Do you think that Jesus has come to destroy you? I mean, Jesus is holy. He is righteous. He's all-powerful. He is God. But he's not come to impress sinners with his holiness. He's not come to impose his righteousness upon us. Here's why he's come. John 3, verse 17. You all know John 3, 16, right? Okay, let's say that together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Good. You know the next verse? "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might have life through him." That's why Christ came to be with you. So that you'd have hope. That you'd have a future. That you'd have life. And have it abundantly. Jesus is not interested in leaving you. And he's certainly not interested in destroying you. Here's how you know. He was interested in the world destroying him in your place. So that you might have his righteousness and his holiness. Not only this, but not only are you forgiven, he's actually given you a new job. God's up to something big, right? Jesus is up to something really big, something cosmic. And not only has he forgiven you, but he says, "Here, why don't you help me out?" He calls those fishermen to be apostles. He calls you and me to be royal priests, kings and queens, co-rulers with him in this world. As Christ brings his kingdom to the world, as Christ makes all things new, he invites you to participate. So you know how at the beginning of the story, Peter forgot that he was a fisherman and just went with what Jesus said to him? Okay. That's what Jesus is inviting Peter to do now. This is what Jesus is inviting you and I to do now. He's inviting us to forget that we are sinners. and to believe what he says. We are forgiven. We are free. We're even kings and queens. God's up to something really big. I know the world wants you to fixate on COVID-19, social unrest, politics. But don't focus on what the world says. Focus on what Jesus says. You're free people. You are innocent and holy, and you have nothing to be ashamed of. And God is going to make all things new, the universe. And he's inviting you to be a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.